Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today I wanted to explore the question of free will. So in the field of the inside-out understanding of the three principles, the teachings of Sydney Banks, there's some contention around this notion that Sid would talk a lot about free will, that we have thought, we have mind, we have consciousness, and our free will is how we use it. Do we use the gift of thought and consciousness to create heaven or hell in our own reality, in our own experience? And that it is our free will. No circumstance can make us think and therefore experience anything in particular. And no circumstance or person can prevent us from thinking and therefore experiencing and whatever it is that we experience. So that, for a lot of people, they hear that, they recognize that, and they feel liberated. They recognize, oh, I don't have to experience stress in relation to a deadline. I don't have to experience pressure in relation to a goal or a target. I don't have to experience suffering in conjunction with circumstances that are not the circumstances I would choose if I got to choose my circumstances. So they start to feel autonomous in a way, not limited by, not victimized by their circumstances, not limited by, not victimized by other people. And that's incredibly liberating. But the question that a lot of people then get onto is, yeah, but do we really have free will? And from a scientific perspective, there's a lot of research that shows we don't necessarily have free will, but we have free won't. And what that phrase points to is that we don't seem to get to have a say in what thoughts come into our mind. But we have the ability inside us to not go with a particular thought. It's why you can think about jumping off a tall place, if you're in a tall place, and not do it. It's why you can think about killing the person who cut you off in traffic, but not actually kill them. So you can't sort of choose what thoughts come to mind, but you seem to have some say in whether or not you act on them, in what you do with them. So you don't have free will, you have free won't. But then there are schools of thought. I first came across the idea in the work of the Guru Ramesh Balsekar, but it's pervasive in a lot of non-dual teachings, that there is no such thing as free will because there is no individual to have it. So they will point to the metaphor of a wave. A wave appears to be individual. It appears to be its own thing. But really, it's just a function of the ocean. And its movement is dictated by external forces. It's not actually waving. It's just an appearance of a wave because of the conjunctions of gravity and tides and the movement overall of the ocean. And so the implication is there is no free will. Not only do we not choose what thoughts come into our head, but we don't choose which thoughts to go with and which thoughts not to, because the whole thing is just movement. And we are the witness of that movement, not the mover. And that makes sense too. I remember the first time I read Ramesh Balsekar, I found it very dense and I didn't quite understand. And he kept saying, we have no choice, we have no choice, we have no choice. And I'd been brought up in the empowerment philosophy and thought, well, that's terrible. And then somewhere around the third page of what I was reading, I felt an incredible sense of peace. Because I saw, well, hell, if I have no choice, I'm free. There's nothing I have to do. I don't have to try to control myself. I don't have to try to control the universe. And it's sort of like being the difference between being in the back of a car, like being in the back of an Uber, and driving it. You really can just relax and enjoy the ride in the back. And while sometimes driving is fun, sometimes driving can be pretty stressful because you got to get there on time and you're responsible for this and you're responsible for that. And so there's an element to which I really like the idea that there's no free will. Then you get some of Sid's deeper teaching, where he talks about free will as being God's will. He talks about how, well, it's free will whether or not to go with God's will. So it's this sort of almost hybrid of the two, where, again, we can use our free won't to not go with God's will, but why would we? If you think about the prayer of St. Francis, the opening line, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. And he talks about, let thy will be my will. It's a prayer of surrender to this larger movement, to not be in resistance to it, but to be in flow with it. And when I think in terms of that, there's a beautiful freedom that I experience. There's a beautiful sense of possibility of, I'm along for a magic carpet ride. I don't need to steer the carpet. I can get off the carpet when I want, but I can also get back on the carpet in any moment, and it will take me places. And when we are following that magic carpet, when we are riding that magic carpet, we get to be surprised and delighted as we are taken to places and experiences that we would never have chosen for ourselves, but we also would never have gotten to experience with a richness and a freshness that we do. And so if you're in the exploration of do we have free will, not as an exploration, but as a search for the right answer, I can't help you. A, B, or C. Take your choice. They're all kind of wonderful. They're all kind of liberating. But if you're up for being in it as an exploration, not a search for the right answer, then I can tell you that there's something beautiful about just experimenting as if we have free will, and then sometimes experimenting as if we don't. To play with living sometimes as if nothing you do matters. As if it's all preordained. You're just acting out a script that you don't even know about. Every gesture, every tick, every attempt at being independent, every attempt at surrender is all part of a pre-written script. There's a line in the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam where he says, the moving finger writes, and having writ moves on, nor all thy piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all thy tears wash out a word of it. And there's a real freedom in that, what I sometimes call the paradox of no choice. If there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you have to do. So you're free to just live your life. And what I find, what people I talk to find when they play in that space of no free will, is incredible freedom. But then sometimes it's really fun to go, well, what if I do have free will? What do I want to do with it? What do I want to create with my free will right now? What feeling do I want to live in with my free will right now? What thoughts do I want to dwell on with my free will right now? And there's a lot of freedom and power in that. Now, I make zero claim to knowing, well, which one's the right answer? Because I'm not sure there is one. But it seems really clear to me that if we don't know whether or not we have free will, then we can use our apparent free will to act as if we don't. or we can use our apparent free will to act as if we do. And if we really don't have free will, it doesn't matter what we choose. And if we really do have free will, then what a great thing to use that free will in order to do. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk with you soon.